Hello and welcome to Core Women. My name is Dr. Summer Watson, and I'm the founder of Core Women, and I'm also an empowerment strategist for women. So if you're listening to this podcast to delve more into empowerment strategies, well, you're here for the right reason. However, Core Women was also developed because it's a special place that provides a unique idea of home for the hearts and souls of women. It's a place for us to share our strength, energy, wisdom, and authenticity. It's a place for women to find support and strategic empowerment ideas that will help support their lives. Today on the show, I'd like to welcome Norma Staff, who is a graduate of Purdue University, a writer for her community newspaper, the Idaho County Free Press. She teaches public speaking adult outreach classes at Lewis and Clark State College. She has traveled the world. And to add to this very impressive bio, in January of 2019, she organized the first People's March for Inclusion and Equality in Grangeville, Idaho. Let's get right into talking about your journey, Norma, and welcome.
Hi, Summer. It's great to be here.
Hi. Thanks so much. So let's talk about your background, Norma, and how your love for activism evolved.
Yeah, so my mom was a immigrant, you'd call her a refugee, actually, in World War II. And so she came to this country as a child. And so as my sister and I were growing up, she instilled in us really respecting the values of this country and raised us to be patriotic. And one of the highest forms of patriotism is to dissent or to stand up for things you believe in. We have the First Amendment, which allows us to be out on the streets with a message that maybe not everyone likes, but we have the right to share that message.
Right. So tell us a little bit about, you know, your mother coming from a different country and then how, you know, she came to the United States and that how that impacted you a little bit.
Yeah. So my mom, was a child in World War II. And by the time she spent most of the World War II living in refugee camps in Germany and was felt really, really fortunate to come to this country and was really, really thrilled with her parents that this country was willing to take them in and be open to having immigrants and helping people that were running from being killed or being treated badly. In her father's case, he was a policeman in Estonia. And when the Russians came into Estonia in World War II, his name was on the list to go to Siberia because he was, as a policeman, he had sworn an oath to the country of Estonia, and the Russians wanted to take over, and they didn't want people who were loyal to the local country's government. So they fled and went to Germany and spent most of the war either in hiding in their own country or in Germany. So it's a powerful story. So at the end of the war, my family, my grandfather and grandmother and mom are Lutherans. And in the camps, my grandfather helped whatever minister or pastor was there as kind of an assistant because he's a really religious man. So there was a family in Ohio through a Lutheran church program, a farm family that wanted a family to sponsor. There were the three Baltic countries, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And so because of my grandfather's involvement in the church, in the camps, that was the family that was selected to go to Genoa, Ohio. And so even though my grandfather had been a policeman, he ended up working on a farm, milking cows, and later working in a Libby glass factory there, while my grandmother went on to work at a clerk in a library.
Wow. What an amazing story. So how did you get to Idaho?
Yeah, so I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and, you know, we traveled as I was growing up. We had a chance to, went to Europe when I was 10, and then saw a lot, you know, at that age, you're old enough to have, you know, form your own impressions of the world around you. And then when I was a freshman in high school, we took a family trip through Kent State University, where my dad got his master's degree. And it was an educational tour that went to Russia and to Estonia. And we were taking a risk going there because the Soviet government felt that people like my mother who had escaped belonged to them. And there was a chance that they would try to, you know, not let her leave again. But she wanted to see, she hadn't seen family for many years. And it was an opportunity for all of us to see the country of her birth. So it was just a fascinating trip. And despite my sister and dad and I knowing only a few words of Estonian, we were very welcomed there by family.
Oh, wow. That is a fantastic story. So let's get back to, you made it to Idaho and life took its turns and you worked for the federal government and you did a lot of things. What was your driving force for organizing the first People's March for Inclusion and Equality?
And I guess because in my childhood, I marched with my mom for in Cleveland, Ohio, where I grew up, against the Soviet occupation of a lot of former European countries who are now free countries. And then my parents were both educators and they went on strike at times during my childhood. So to me, marching in the streets or waving signs or, you know, that kind of vocal kind of protest seemed like it wasn't as strange to me as it is to some people.
Right.
And yeah. So I grew up with that. And then, eventually ended up moving to the West after college and lived in different places. And so I've participated in marches for various issues over time. And the last couple of years, I'd traveled to Boise in 2017 to participate in a women's march there with about 5,000 people. And then last year I went to Missoula, Montana. A friend of mine there and some of her friends were organizing a march for about 1,000. And after that march, it really started getting me thinking, well, why couldn't I do this here? It's not something that... it's pretty rare for people to march or wave signs or do anything really like that here. So right. It's kind of a different thing. You know, there's parades.
It's a little bit more of a small town. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Grangeville is the county seat of Idaho County, and Grangeville itself has 3,000 people. I think there's about 20,000 in the county, spread out over quite a few hills and quite a few smaller towns. But Grangeville's the big town, so that's why we picked that. It's the central location.
Gotcha.
A couple of us did a small march last year in an adjoining town called Kamiai in favor of education, and we really didn't advertise it. We just as far as like news media, we just spread it by word of mouth. And we had 30 people show up for that one. So we thought, well, what would happen if we, you know, if we tried, if we did more of an outreach, we might be surprised at who was interested. We might meet some new people that way and not just assume that we would know what sort of person might want to stand up for an issue.
Right. Right. It just sometimes you've got to take the chance and the risk, and you never know what's going to evolve in relation to driving people towards your cause and who that might be.
Exactly. Another really thing that kind of spurred me on last summer, I was at a fascinating workshop in upstate New York at the Chautauqua Institute, and it was an entire week on the ethics of dissent. Through American history and really the premise of that from the Revolutionary War forward, that, you know, our advances have been people, you know, based on people standing out and saying, wait a minute, that's not right, that's not fair, and being willing to take a risk for whatever their cause is. So one of the speakers at last summer at the Ethics of Dissent was a woman who is a Supreme Court judge in Canada. And she ended her speech with, it's not just about what you stand for, it's about what you're willing to stand up for. And sure, taking, you know, it is taking a risk, marching down a street in any town, waving a sign that not everyone will agree with, or, you know, having a message that isn't accepted by everyone.
Absolutely.
But just thinking good thoughts or you know, living your values is one thing, but to really put yourself out there. And so that was another kind of factor in thinking, yeah, why should I travel to a city just because that's what people do in cities, is have more of these marches and other types of public statements on the streets and sidewalks.
Right. So why not do something in or near where you reside, where you can actually, exactly, you know, really gain some momentum and, you know, do some outreach and bring those folks together who you know and your networks together and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. And would you like to be a part of this? This is a little scary. This might be unfamiliar or, you know, a little different for you. And it may take you out of your comfort zone. But are you willing to do something like this with me?
Exactly. We reached out, got a few other folks on board. It kind of evolved, and we each reached out to our different networks of people. And one of the communities that I'm involved with is a group of women that do yoga together in various places, indoors and outdoors, and with several different instructors. And it's a really wonderful group, people that have just a great spirit of inclusion. And so I ended up reaching out to them and then to a local outreach coordinator for Lewis and Clark State College. I have a one woman office here, and it's Carla Wilkins, who's the person there who organizes the classes. She thought it was a great educational opportunity because we put together three speakers to talk about different aspects of inclusion and equality. So she helped put that part of the program together.
That's fantastic. So let me ask you something. When you were getting this together, did you receive any resistance to what you were doing? And if so, how did you handle that?
You know, we didn't. I was bracing myself for there to be some kind of negativity about it, but I did not encounter that myself. We weren't planning on closing any roads or anything. We were, you know, planning on a sidewalk march, but just to so the city wouldn't be surprised, and just to respect, you know, the city government and the police and things. I went in and checked with them, about 6 weeks before. So gave them lots of notice, and just told them what we were planning and what the theme was. And so the city clerk talked to all the different departments, and the city council even met about it. And they didn't ask me to present it or anything. So apparently they didn't think it was terribly controversial or anything. It was just more of an awareness. And so, I felt good about that. And then, I reached out to, there's three weekly newspapers in this area, which is kind of amazing, as small as our towns are, that we have multiple newspapers.
Right.
And the one that I write a column for, I know the editor personally, and the people, the community editor, and I knew that they would for sure cover it. And so I gave them a heads up that it was coming, but I sent press releases out to the other smaller newspapers, the other weeklies, and then the larger daily newspaper in Lewiston. And actually, the more I reached out to people, the more it kind of escalated. One thing led to another, and we were on one of the local tribal, Nez Perce tribe, Has Run radio station, gave them a public service announcement. There's a kind of an events publication that comes out once a week out of Lewiston called the Inland 360, and it's music, arts, culture, sporting events, all kinds of things. And it's just a really fun publication, what's going on. So I just sent them a little blurb for their listing. And then the week of the march, the editor of that publication called and interviewed me actually for a story ahead of time. And then I thought it was a little bit of a stretch to reach out to the KLEW TV station,
right,
for their news. But I thought nothing ventured, nothing gained. And so I reached out to one of their newer reporters, and I enjoy watching Rashida Kaba on their television program on the news. I think she's a good reporter, but I'd also, she's fairly new to the area. And in her bio, she said that she had covered marches in other places that she'd worked. And so it just seemed like Rashida would be a good fit. And then she came as well. And so it just, we had, two newspapers and television covering our march. So
that's fantastic.
Really good. Yeah, and the way that I approached, especially the Lewiston and the out-of-town publications, was that, you know, marching for Martin Luther King Day weekend or marching for a women's march was not an unusual thing in a city, but the story really was it's an unusual thing in a small town, and, you know, that was something different.
Absolutely. So. And wow, you took that first step, and it really evolved into something that the community could really get behind you. And that's exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, you asked if there had been any negative feedback.
Right.
And, you know, afterwards, I thought maybe someone will write a letter to the editor poking fun at us or questioning our motives or calling us names or something. And none of that happened. It was really all very positive. So,
and that's fantastic.
Quite happy about that.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to take the chance and the risk and see what comes of it. And in this case, you didn't have any pushback, and it was a really great learning experience. And I know we talked previously about really engaging the community, and I know you had mentioned something about making the signs.
So we, in all our pre-event media releases and social media postings and such, we made a point to say that we wanted to encourage people to have positive signing. You know, some signing at various events can be negative, but we wanted people to focus on what you do want to see or what you want to be different, and not on what you don't like or who you don't like. And so, so we provided recycled cardboard and poster board and magic markers and stakes and all the materials they needed to put the signs together. And we based the event out of the local Episcopalian Church Community Hall, which is just a great little space, just had tables spread out. And so people came in, and, you know, not everyone wanted to make a sign, but a lot of the kids really got into the sign making, and it was fun to watch them interact with their parents and figuring out what they wanted to put on their sign and if they wanted to draw a picture. And one girl wanted to do an American flag on hers and wasn't quite sure how the stripes lined up and things like that. So yeah, it was really sweet to see those interactions and just see, you know, the excitement about going out there on the streets and with our signs.
Right. And I absolutely love that strategy, because I really think that when you start from a really positive approach, it makes that the actual march itself such a positive experience, because everybody was engaged through the process.
Yeah. And once we got out there on the march, after the signs were made, we did some chants, and we had one woman I'd never met before. It turned out she was a Lutheran pastor in an adjoining community, and she came in and she said, "How about if we sing a song?" And she led us in a folk song, "If I Had a Hammer," and had us practice it, and she just jumped right in, even though she didn't really know people in the group. She just became a part of it because we made a point to make it open to anyone who shared our message. And the following week, I was raised Lutheran, and her church is a drive from here, 40 minutes or so. But I decided to go to her church service because I liked her spirit. And she saw me there in the pew, and she immediately introduced me to everyone. And then she led one of the chants that we had in during the march in her church service. And it was 2-4-6-8, Idaho's Too Great for Hate. Oh. And so making that connection and then having it resonate on to, the next community over, and having, her just describe what we had done to her congregation was just really powerful.
Absolutely. Wow. Kind of like you drop the pebble in the water and you see the rings and they start spreading and getting further and further out. And that's what you did in your community. And you saw something really healthy grow from what you did. And that's exceptional. I love that. If you were to leave the listeners with some words of wisdom, what would those words be?
So I would say, don't be afraid. I mean, yeah, I had butterflies in my stomach before it happened. I wasn't worried that there would be, anything really bad happen, but I thought maybe people might make fun of us or harass us along the route or something like that. And it didn't happen. It was just a really positive experience. So by taking a risk, a reasonable one, and thinking it through and just get out of your comfort zone, and you don't know what new people you might connect with and people that you didn't really expect to have anything in common with, you end up finding some common ground, and that's how we all grow and change and come to understand each other better.
Absolutely. I fully agree with that. And thank you, Norma, for joining me on the Core Women podcast today.
It's great to be here. Great to talk to you, Summer.
If you'd like to know more about Norma or get in contact with her, go to Norma Staff's Facebook personal page. Thank you. If you need a strategic empowerment coach, contact me. If you want to tell your story of empowerment or how you have reconstructed your life to drive change, send me a video or an email of your story, providing permission to use it on my social media platforms. If you want to be featured on my podcast, reach out to me at info@corewomen.com. I want to hear from you and to get to know you. You are now part of the Core Women home. Let's get to know each other. Let's learn from one another. Please follow Core Women on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please let your women friends know about this podcast. If you write about Core Women in your social media posts, please hashtag Core Women. This is all about women. Thank you for taking the time to learn more about Core Women, and please stay tuned for continued growth of the Core Women movement. Let's grow and drive change together.